All right, here we go. All right, I'm calling to order the City of Berkeley Lake Planning Zoning Commission meeting for June 10th, 2025. It is 7:15. Has everyone had a chance to take a look at the approval or at the agenda? Do I hear any motions regarding the agenda?
Move we approve as submitted.
All right, second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
It's unanimously. And then the minutes from the last meeting. I read through them. Anybody have any amendments or additions to the minutes?
I have none.
Do I hear a motion?
Well, I wasn't here, but I'll move to approve it.
You can roll.
Okay.
I second George's motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Old business. We have election of chair and election of vice chair, which we've keep kicking down the road because we've only had three people at the last couple meetings, but I think we can go ahead and vote. Do we need any discussion? Is there anybody else that would be interested in being the chair and kicking me out?
Or me, Dave?
Nothing from me.
All right. Do I hear a motion? I'm willing to continue in this role. It's the money. I can't turn down the money.
I understand Delta's going
and
through some hard times.
To get it.
I'm just kidding. Do I hear a motion then?
I move that Dan Huntington be reelected as chair of the Berkeley Lake Planning and Zoning Commission.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
And vice chair?
I was supposed to be in charge of vice, not vice chair.
Yes.
Who is it this year? Is it Pekka or is it you?
Me.
It's you. Okay. All right. Do you want to continue in such a position? Anybody else interested in being vice chair? Pekka? All right, Pekka. Not Pekka. We could vote back in.
Oh, can we?
Against as well, couldn't we? Rand?
Yes.
Are you okay with, did you want to be vice chair?
Right. No.
Dave?
You want to be vice chair? I've been plenty of things in my life. I don't need to prove anything to my...
Okay, do I hear a motion?
I move that Pekka...
George.
Oh, George?
Yes.
Okay, George Kapazekas be approved as vice chair of the Berkeley Lake Planning and Zoning Commission.
Can you second that for us, Dave?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. We'll move on to new business. Planning and zoning... Let's see where it is. What's the TA stand for again?
Text Amendment.
Text Amendment. 25-04, Amendment to Section 78-111, Fences and Walls. Have you guys had a chance to read through the staff analysis?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. And you guys know what is sparking all of this discussion? You aware, Dave?
Well, what? Bambi.
Bambi.
I find them every day.
Yeah.
Bambi.
Yeah. Bill, would you have anything to say to this issue, or are you just here to observe? If you do, would like you to come up and just give us your name and your address.
Lacey, 147 Lakeshore Drive. My concern is the deer situation we have and the fact that fencing can help control, not 100%, but it can help control the deer intrusion in our yards. And I got the impression from one of the meetings we had over at Pinckneyville that the city might be in favor of increasing the height of the fences. And I is it 6 feet?
It's six now? Right
now.
I'm sorry? It's six right now. What we're
Yeah.
What we're talking about is possibly recommending to City Council to change that to 8.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then would that be permanent or temporary fences, or would it apply to both?
Well, those would be permanent. The temporary fencing, as it's described in our ordinance, is like temporary screening around like a garden or over the top of, you know, that I think we're all doing to try to save our plants already. So that's the temporary. It did have a time limit on it. The proposal we've got in front of us would remove the time limit for the temporary fencing.
That sounds...
What I think is not going to be allowed, which is problematic with this change, is any kind of temporary fencing on top of the 8-foot fence, which, you know, we'll talk about that, but 8 feet is not sufficient. Mm-hmm. I think we learned that 8 feet, 8-foot fence might help, but it's not sufficient for. So anyway.
Yeah, I bought a 7-foot plastic fence, 100 feet long, and I have it in my backyard. No one can see it. We have a little over an acre, and it's amazing what was growing this spring when I did that.
Oh, really?
Mayapples. We had probably 40 mayapples that the deer normally get. And didn't this year.
So let me ask you, how big is the area you fenced off with that?
Well, it's a circle, 100 foot of plastic fencing in a circle. I've secured the fencing using trees that are there. So it's 100 feet radius,
30.
Diameter, no, circumference. Circumference circle. Yeah.
Okay.
Roughly.
So this is probably, we're probably getting outside the purview of what we're supposed to be doing here today.
Probably.
But
go ahead.
The smaller area of our backyard is 75 feet by 75 feet that we have fenced in. We have a 4-foot fence. We have never once seen a deer get in there. And we were told by one of the deer experts that they don't like to feel confined, and that even our little 4-foot, so we have all of our garden in this little, and it sounds to me like that's why your 7-foot fence is working, probably for the same reason, is that it's, they feel trapped in that.
Yeah.
But that doesn't help somebody that, anyway.
And one of the things I've done as well, I put blue surveyor's tape, streamers hanging down. Yeah. Apparently deer can see that color more easily than orange or yellow, so.
Well, we definitely need to do a better job educating the people in the city what is helping people like what you're talking about. Because I know Rich Taggenhorst is doing the same thing with the blue tape, and his yard is ugly, but it's...
Well, I'm amazed that you don't have deer in your backyard.
Oh, no, I didn't.
With the 4-foot.
We have tons of deer in our backyard, but just not in the
Not in the 4-foot area. I'm really surprised.
That's our experience as well. I actually do have a question for Lee, and this is in light of two-part question. The subdivisions around that have their own set of regulations, does this also apply to them?
Yes.
And do they have lower restrictions on their fencing?
So what you have to realize is that this is not forcing you to build an 8-foot fence. It's allowing that. If you're in a subdivision that has a covenant more restrictive, that covenant is going to govern. We can't trump their
HOA
covenants.
We're not less restrictive.
Right. This is just saying the city says you cannot have a fence taller than 8 feet in your side or rear yard.
Okay. The second question, and it didn't come up in front of us. It was a tangential conversation. There was a person in Miramont that had extended his fence from 6 to 8 feet, kind of without permit, without anything. Not our issue at that time. That was an enforcement issue. I am kind of curious, does this go back retroactively to...
Any 8-foot fence that's out there now will be allowed. So, like, we wouldn't go now to enforce a fence that was built too tall then when now we're allowing 8 feet. It sort of clears that up, I guess, from a city standpoint. Now, there might be a covenant that right. would address that, but we wouldn't be in the game of enforcing that covenant. So,
Bill, are you personally in favor of this change?
Yes.
Okay. And what about the committee?
Well, I'm not representing the committee, but I'm quite sure that they would be in favor of this.
Okay. So my only concern about this is, first of all, it's not a solution for people who can't afford, because that's an expensive proposition to go fence your yard in with an 8-foot high fence, right? So it's not a solution that's really tenable for a lot of people. It will, I think, is this going to be allowed in the front yard as well?
No.
Just
5 feet in front.
Four.
Is it four? That's right.
Four.
And I looked around at some other codes, and that's
okay.
4 and 8 is what I found in all the places I looked.
Privacy though, no? Can it be a privacy fence or not?
In the front yard?
No, in the back.
Yes.
At 8 feet.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So
I didn't get into the weeds about the type of fence. Yep.
So ugly and would definitely impact the view shed that we always talk about, right?
How do you define a backyard?
So the side and rear yard of the property is defined in the zoning code, and basically it's anything that is beyond the front building line of your house. So the side yard, so nothing forward of the frontmost part of your house could be taller than 4 feet.
Okay.
Everything else has to, it's 8 feet behind that.
Yeah. As opposed to the front setback line.
Correct.
Okay.
So the side yards, you could
right.
put an 8-foot fence level equal to the front of your house and
Correct.
Then go back. Okay.
That's right.
My other concern, the reason I was asking you your feeling about it is because this may help some, for the people who can afford to do it, it may help or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I also don't, I wish it were part of a comprehensive solution, because I don't really want it to be the city did their part, because we raised it from 6 to 8, because this is only a tiny piece of what needs to be done to address this problem.
One of the things that, I don't know what the city can do on this, but I spent a lot of time in Australia working with mining companies of the outback. And we have a problem with rabbits over there in much of Australia. And we have other things as well that was destroying the native vegetation. So one of the mines, they took some very high fencing and fenced, I don't know what it was, maybe a couple of acres, just to see what would happen. And it's amazing what comes up when you don't have animals, especially non-native animals, grazing on it.
Especially when the plants are very young.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So the thought was, and I talked to Scott Lee about this as well, doing something like that in the green space. I don't know what kind of permits would be needed.
Well, and I understand why we're talking about this, but just to be clear, this is definitely not a topic that is on the agenda for your discussion tonight.
Right.
I mean, we're looking at a zoning code change. There are a lot. We have talked as a staff and at great length about potential ways that we could try to ameliorate a problem that honestly is something that,
beyond the scope.
Is a little bit beyond the scope.
Well, would P&Z have anything to do with anything done in the green space? So they can do whatever they want, whatever the Piedmont Land Trust would allow?
There's both the conservation easement, and we do have an ordinance that governs the green space. So there's two different documents, but the green space ordinance is not under the zoning code.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Yeah, and actually, I'm not going to, well, on my question, I will opine, and I don't mean to in one sense, because I agree with you. This is a lot simple done. The bigger question, which is, what's the city's responsibility in reducing habitat destruction across the metro Atlanta area? because that's one of the fundamental, no predators and loss of habitat are primary factors to a prevalence of deer. Is that even a city function to consider? I just pose that question without wanting really a full discussion, except to say I hope that gets discussed later on throughout the deer process.
I think you're right. I mean, for you all tonight, this is a very,
very
specific request that is tailored to exactly what the mission of this group is, which is planning and zoning. And what we're talking about is on a different level of consideration, I guess I would say. Not that you can't participate in that, but it's beyond what the Planning and Zoning Commission really has the...
Well, you're right, but I don't know that I agree 100% with that, because the thing that's driving this change does matter as we consider the change. It's not just changing 6 to 8 feet for no reason at all. It's changing 6 to 8 feet for that specific reason. So talking about how this plays into it, my hesitation to even vote for it is because I don't want to feel like we're setting that, like, now the city's done their part in this deer problem, which...
Well, and again, back to George's question, I mean, we could be here until 2 a.m. debating about how that's going to shake out. And so I just want to, I mean, just to keep this as clean and simple as we can, I feel like this is, of course, you're acting on it in a context. I'm not trying to avoid the topic of the context. I'm just saying we can't really go down all the different rabbit holes connected to all the different ways that cities should or shouldn't be involved in wildlife management, which is a very big topic.
The whole thing started with, according to this, a citizen or citizens came forward and asked that something to be done.
Correct.
I fully support trying to help citizens protect their property and prevent harm to wildlife. But I do not see it as the end game. I see it as an interim step to whatever might come next, because there may be another group of citizens come forward and want more done, and we may or may not attempt to do that.
So, but that more might actually also not involve P&Z. In other words,
of course,
that might be a completely different thing.
Sure.
This happens to fall within the fencing ordinance, so that's our purview through here.
Okay, do I hear a motion? Go ahead.
I have one other comment. Susan Hansen has a garden in her backyard that she has fought with the deer for a long time. And I helped her extend a 4-foot hurricane fence, chain link fence, to 7 feet with a kit that she bought, which bolts on top of that, and it's got a plastic that you attach to it. And that has worked for her. But the real point is that the 4-foot fence did not keep the deer out at all. So sometimes it can work. I think it depends on the approaches. In other words, if it's inside a wooded area where they don't feel comfortable jumping into because of what's there, that might work. But for her, it did not work.
Okay.
It worked for me, but let me make a motion. I move that we approve ordinance number 25-258. Is that what it is?
As amended.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. It's unanimous. All right, Lee. I forgot to look it up. Remind me what, remind me about the administrative variance.
So you all considered 562 Lakeshore Drive in the last couple of years. It was an expansion to a house. It had a side setback and building coverage component to it. This request is just to extend a deck. Expanded deck. It is a conforming expansion, but it was already a non-conforming structure. It doesn't increase the building coverage at all because decks don't count against building coverage, and it is not encroaching on any setback. This is an administrative variance, and one that, you know, is the kind of thing that may or may not still be something that would be considered needing a variance in the future. This whole concept of whether or not, if you've already gotten a variance once, Do you have to always come back for variances every time you do anything to your house, even if the thing you do conforms, which in this case it does? And that's one of the things that we're working on with the attorney on the code update project, because that's come up a couple times.
Okay. And if I remember, that deck was even on the opposite side from the side where it was,
correct,
where the home was non-conforming.
So that's right.
Okay. So that's my report on that administrative variance. It was a pretty easy one.
Yeah. Thank you, Lee, for his report.
Yeah. That's Lee's report. Okay. Citizen comments? Any more citizen comments? Anyone? All right. Discussion session, we don't have anything under there. Is there anything?
I do have, again, discussion maybe more towards Lee and just thinking through the changes that we're making. And it's weird coming from me because this doesn't bug me, but it bugs apparently many of my neighbors. The length of time it takes to build houses or reconstruct houses. What's an acceptable amount? If we were in Greece, it took my dad 4 years, and that was a speedy construction schedule. So, you know, it's just a matter of perspective. I don't come here with a real issue, just identifying that if time renewals of permits, if there should be a limit to them, I just throw that out as a...
So generally, as the sort of historically, the way that this works is we have an expiration on your permit, but you can always come in and get a renewal for that permit. And I'm not aware of any city that basically draws a hard line of you got to be done by blah, because I can see that being a problem in a lot of cases where people aren't finish, what are we going to do? Say, well, you can't finish? I mean, you know, practically speaking, I think that there's challenges. I'm not familiar with other local governments that do much in that regard, but we do, it is not in their best interest because there's a cost associated with that renewal. Mm-hmm. And so every time they have to come in and renew, they're paying again. And we stay on top of that. We're constantly aware of, you know, those expirations, and we're letting those folks know, hey, your permit's expired, you got to come back in, you got to get it renewed.
But that's cheaper than buying subcontractors and materials.
Just there's a couple of houses that have taken a long time, and I mean, we're aware of them, and, you know.
And like I said, because you pointed out some of the basic problems of, you kind of say, stop, you can't move back in, you're done with the house, and it's an eyesore for the next 20 years because no one can finish it. So like I said, I don't have a real problem with it, but people come to me enough that I say, I'll just bring it up and see if that is even an issue that needs to be pursued in some forum somewhere.
So one of the things that you might, and I don't know that this would fall into the zoning code, I need to look and see. There's 78.317 is the building permit required section of the zoning code. And it may be something you just fire off through the website, that link to the project, the code update project. That thing is live all the time, and it can be, you know, you can constantly interface with it and submit a, you know, hey, can you address this? Is there some way to deal with this? Just so that it keeps that on somebody's radar. Because they're actively writing right now. I've been getting questions from the consultant all week, really for the last several weeks, to try to refine different aspects about verbiage and other topical things. So that might be something to do.
But that requires you to actually do something besides just talk.
Well, if I can remember, if you want to email me, I will put it in front of them. But yeah, okay. I try, my memory tomorrow could be.
Is there something
gone?
I guess he's got to talk fast. He's got the hammer in his hand.
Really?
Is there something associated with one thing that could drive this process is that are you allowed to live in a house that's under construction and controlling that, or do you force people to endure the expense of an unfinished project, and that might be part of the incentive to finish so that you can take advantage of what you've spent the money on?
So
how that all ties together.
So I kind of thought through that particular issue, Dave, and it's a problematic
can of worms because, for example, you know, I did a renovation in 2005, 9 months, that took the center part of my house basically down to the studs and replaced everything without changing a single wall structurally, but touched everything. And I forced my family to live upstairs in three rooms because I could barely afford the mortgage, you know, of just so. So we lived in a virtual construction zone for 9 months. We had, you know, basically there was nothing that would have precluded us from living there. We, you know, we had basically power, we had septic, we had service. So, you know, some people can do that, other people can't, you know, what happens through that process. And that's when I kind of threw up my hands and said, I got more important things to worry about than if, you know, there's porta potty two doors down for the last 3 years and might be there for another year or so. Doesn't really matter. You know. But that's my perspective. I just wanted to kind of bring it up to see if other people have been hearing, had complaints about it. It was only because two people said something should be done about that. Okay, well, all right.
Is there anything more you want to talk about on that, or can we table it until the next time? Because I promised Lee I would get her out of here early. So before we go off the record, welcome to Dave,
DNC.
Thank you for serving us, Dave, for serving the city. Do I hear a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Second.
On favor.
Aye.
So, Dave, you're doing this for the money, too?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm doing it for the company.